إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, I just got some news that one of our friends in Bangalore, his wife was a revert to Islam. She used to be a Hindu, she became Muslim, and she was perfectly fine, nothing wrong with her. Alhamdulillah, very dedicated Muslims. And yesterday she was fasting, and in a state of fasting suddenly she developed some problems, and she was taken to the hospital. All through in the ambulance she was reciting the kalima loudly, and she passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give her the highest station in Jannah, give her Jannatul Firdaus wa Ala bi ghairi hisab. May Allah give her husband and children sabr. She was under 50. The reason I'm saying this is, of course, to request all of you to make dua for her and for her family. But even more importantly, to remind myself and you and ask a question. And that question is, what will my last moments be like? Because that is something that is going to happen to all of us. So what will those last moments be like? Will we die in a state of fasting, reciting the kalima? Or will we die in some other state somewhere else? And that is the question to ask. What will be my last action? We know the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a man came and he said this thing to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, my dua is that may Allah make the last of my actions the best of my actions, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the last day of my life the best day of my life. And Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is a good dua. He approved of this dua. What's the dua? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the last day of my life the best day of my life, and the last of my actions the best of my actions. But there is a trick in this dua. And what is the trick? We don't know which is the last action. That is the trick. What is the way of ensuring that the last of our actions is the best of our actions? By ensuring that every one of our actions is the best of our actions. There's no other way. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, ittaqullaha haqqa tuqati wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, oh, you who believe, have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it is right that you should have his taqwa, and do not die except in a state of Islam. Now, how can you ensure that you do not die except in a state of Islam? The only one way of ensuring that, and that is to live in a state of Islam. You cannot live in a state outside of Islam and then expect to die in a state of Islam. This is not possible. The only way to ensure that we die in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to live in a state of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is one of the biggest fitan that we are afflicted with today. And that fitna is that of selective obedience. As I have said many times before, selective obedience is disobedience. Because when you are selecting, if there are three things and you are selecting one, then you are automatically deselecting the other two. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about this deen? How must we enter into this deen? Did he say selectively? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, udkhulu fis silmi kaffatan. Completely. And what did he say about selective obedience? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, afatu'minuna bi ba'di al-kitabi wa takfuruna bi ba'd. Allah said, do you pick and choose? This I will take, this I will not take. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also described what happens to those people who pick and choose. khizyun fil hayatid dunya. Allah said, we will make your life very difficult in this world. Listen to the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khizyun fil hayatid dunya. Barakah will be taken away from the life. Wealth will be like sawdust in your mouth. Your wealth will go in hospital bills, in paying for accidents, in doing all of those kinds of things. And then, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you will be returned to the most severe of punishments. Yuraduna ila ashaddil azab. And that is for who? Allah is promising this for who? Not the mushrikeen, not the kuffar, for people who do selective obedience. Because after all, Allah is the one who is saying, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ. So Allah is saying that you believe in something of the book. Did He say you rejected the whole book? No. Allah did not say you rejected the whole book. He said you believe in something of the book, but you reject something else. Why is that so bad? 2 days ago we spoke about attitude with regard to delaying of salah and so on and so on. Again, this is an attitude problem. And what is the attitude here? It's an attitude of arrogance. It's an attitude of kibr. Here is my Rabb, who is my creator, a khaliq, wal malik, wal hakim, wal raziq. And He has given me 10 things to do. But I decide, out of these 10, which one I will do. Which 2 I will do, which 3 I will do. What did the Rabb say? He said, do all of them. He said, no. You may say, do all of them. But I will decide. So then the Rabb says, if you will decide, then I will also decide. I will also decide. My brothers and sisters, I advise myself and you. Somebody who has completely rejected Islam, is outside of Islam and so on, it's a different ballgame, you know, leave that aside. But people like us, alhamdulillah, most of us here are people who are born into Islam. Right? We're born into Islam, alhamdulillah. We're born into Muslim homes, from Muslim parents. What sense does it make to ruin all of that? To ruin all of that purely for the sake of our nafs. Does it make sense to you? It makes no sense to me. What do you think? Because there are only 2 reasons why we commit sin. Only 2 reasons. One is to please our nafs. Somewhere, somehow we have got these likes and dislikes which have nothing to do with Islam. You know the difference between the Sahaba and people like us? There are a million differences, but I'm saying one of the key differences. You know what is one of the key differences? The Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they also had likes and dislikes. They were human beings. They also had likes and dislikes. But when they came into Islam, they used Islam as the standard. And they took their likes and dislikes and compared. Whatever fit the standard, they continued. What did not fit the standard, they threw it away. And they did not throw it away gradually. They threw it away completely and totally instantly. Instantly. The finest example of this is when the ayat of the hurmat of alcohol were revealed. When the final ayah was revealed, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is not permitted, and the announcer announced, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, there were people, I had guests in my house, I was pouring alcohol for them in a glass, and he said, I just poured it on the ground. He's pouring it like this, he moved his hand. And then he said, what was in the glass, we threw it out. What was in the pot, in the jar, in the jug, we threw it out. Somebody had it in his mouth, he did not swallow it, he spat it out. And then they took the containers, the jars in which they used to store the alcohol, and they poured it out, and they broke the jars. They smashed the containers. When this matter was reported to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, there is no need for you to destroy the containers. You could have used them, you could have washed them and used the containers. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we did not even want to leave anything which reminded us of something which Allah said, Allah did not like us to do. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying you could have used the containers, he is speaking as the Sahib al-Sharia, he is giving a hukum. Because for the future, supposing there is a container of which used to have alcohol, what do I do with that? Where is the hukum? We don't know. So he is showing the fatwa, he is showing the hukum. What the Sahaba were doing was beyond the hukum. That what the Sahaba did was taqwa, which is beyond the fatwa. The fatwa is correct. If somebody uses a container which used to have alcohol after washing it, there is no problem. But they said, no, we don't even want to use the thing. We broke the thing because we don't even want to be reminded that there was a time when we used to do this thing. Nafs. So what did the Sahaba do? When they understood and when they came into Islam, they compared what Islam had as a standard with what they used to do. What fit the standard they kept, what did not fit the standard they removed. No matter how they loved that thing, no matter how much it was part of their lives. You know and I know alcohol is a drug. Somebody who drinks alcohol on a regular basis is addicted at some level. Somebody may be severely addicted, somebody may be mildly addicted, but alcohol is an addiction. Just ask yourself this question, how were people who were actually alcoholics of different levels, how were they able to give it up instantly? There were no detox clinics in Madina and Makkah. They did not go and say, okay, I need to get detoxed and then I'm going to go away for, 3 months to get out of it. They just stopped. How? You know, and I know in this country itself, every once in a while the government gets a stroke of conscience and they say, well, we should have prohibition. So they stop all alcohol sales and so on. What actually happens then? Everybody makes money. Because there is a huge trade in black money and in alcohol smuggling and so on and so forth. Does the consumption of alcohol go down? No. Not by one drop. In the US, in the 30s and 40s, they actually ran a whole campaign of, they said, get people off alcohol. It destroys lives, it's a drug and so on and so forth. They spent millions. They passed laws, they jailed people. And then after all of that, they came to the conclusion that this is impossible to implement. So they removed those laws. And we know whatever there is. So how is it that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to implement prohibition in 1 minute? Without a police force, without any detox clinics, without anybody being arrested and put into jail or nothing. Just the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. That was enough. Not to change one person and two people. Today we are very inspired if you hear one story. Alhamdulillah, it's good. We should be inspired. But I'm saying today we are inspired if you hear the story of one person. This is the whole society changed, man. Everybody changed. Overnight. So why do we sin? First reason is because of our nafs, because of our own desires. And the second reason we sin is to please our friends. Only two reasons. There's no third reason why we commit sins. We commit sins either to please our own personal desire or to please our friends. I'm part of a group. This is expected of the group. These are the entry conditions of the group. You want to be in our group, you have to do this. Some of these are stated, some of these are not stated. Listen to my lecture on friends. But they are powerful rules, powerful psychological compulsions. And we succumb. And that's the reason why it's very important to have good friends. If you are with people who are obedient to the حكم فالله سبحانه وتعالى هو obedient to the sunnah محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, then obedience becomes easy and disobedience becomes difficult. And the opposite is equally true. If you are with a bunch of people who like to sing and dance and whatnot, you know, music and this and that, and then if you say, no, but you know, music is prohibited, no, they'll find you dalail. They will find you tawilat. They will bring you compliant sort of fatawa from Allah knows where. And they will prove to you that music is jais until you stand before your Rabb on the day of judgment. Then you can keep the fatwa with you. Make wasiya to say that when I am put into my grave, insert the fatwa between me and my coffin. Because I am going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will take this fatwa and show, Ya Allah, you know what? Music was jais. What your Nabi said was wrong and what this fatwa said is right. The problem of the wrong kind of friends, and both of these, nafs and friends, lead us into this behavior which is selective obedience. So suddenly in Ramadan we become very religious, the rest of Ramadan we are doing our own thing. Selective obedience. My brothers and sisters, I want to remind you, and further reminders, we don't take them longer than this. Let us get out of this selective obedience business. Believe me, you are not doing any favor to Allah or to His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are doing a favor to yourself. So do a proper favor to yourself. Don't do selective obedience. Don't take this piece out of sunnah and that piece out of the kitab, and I obey this sunnah because I like it and I don't obey that piece of sunnah because I don't like it. Don't do that to yourself, please. Understand. Because the day will come when Malakul Maut will come for you as he will come for me. And then it will be too late. If we want to die like that, like I described the death of the sister, this kind of death is one of the bashara, inshaAllah, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody can create that for themselves. Nobody can create it for yourself. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a death with these kinds of basharat. But that happens why? That happens because you live a life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You do not compromise with the rules of Allah. You do not compromise with the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All your life, if there is a struggle, you do the struggle. You don't try to please this one and that one. You say, no, I will please Allah and I will please His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if somebody else is pleased, alhamdulillah, no problem, good. And if somebody is not pleased, again, alhamdulillah, no problem, good. As I've said many times before, no matter what you do, irrespective of that, tomorrow if you start a business running a prostitution racket, you will be popular with a bunch of people. Believe me, there is no doubt about this. Some people like yourself sitting in this masjid, they will spit at you. But there will be others who will say, fantastic, great business. And vice versa. Tomorrow if you become the Shaykh al-Haram, there will be people who will praise it. MashaAllah, Alhamdulillah, look at him, he is leading Salah in the Haram. And there will be other people who will say, the crazy fellow, he left a great business, he was making millions, now he's going and leading, he has become an Imam. Became a Mullah, became a Maulvi. Exactly, this is what they will say. No matter what you do, get this into your head, no matter what you do, there will be a bunch of people who will support you and there will be a bunch of people who will not support you. Now you decide whether you want to live like this or you want to live and do things which you know that the only one whose approval matters approves of that thing. There is only one whose approval matters. And who is that one? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalala. The opinion of everybody else is trash. It is trash, it is rubbish. No matter who it is. Only and only the opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala matters. And the great secret of life is, if you please that one, then he ensures that everyone else is pleased. And if you don't please that one, then the whole world and his wife cannot help you. So let us be very clear. That's why I thought today this news also came. While making dua for the maghfirat of the sister, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her jannatul firdaus ghala bi ghairi hisab, let us worry about our own akhirah. Let us worry about our own ending. There are two things that people have, in the news they sent me, there are two things they said about the sister. They said that she used to always say, this dunya is nothing. Let us worry about the akhirah. The akhirah is everything. The dunya is nothing. The akhirah is everything. She used to say this all the time. And the second thing they said about the sister is, she never said anything negative about anybody. Never did any ghibah. Never said anything negative about anybody. Never did ghibah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects people like that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives this basharat at the time of their death. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who He is pleased with. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to convince us that only the approval of Allah matters, not the approval of anybody else. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take us out from selective obedience into complete obedience. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us an ending which will be a bashara of Jannah for us, inshaAllah. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.